So the big question is this: what would you do if money didn't matter? Say you had millions in your bank account, what would you focus on? Would you spend more time with your family, with your wife, with your kids, take family vacations? Would you pursue your gifts and talents and dreams, serve your local community, teach others, serve your church community? You see, if what you would do if money didn't matter is pursue your gifts and talents and dreams to serve others, then that is probably what you should be doing. The problem is, most people are in the rat race, living 5 inches in front of their face with no time to pursue what they were born to do. That is the problem, and the solution is to develop enough passive income to replace your working income so you can quit your job and be free to live your life the way you were created to. That is the solution, and this podcast will show you how. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another awesome episode of the Cashflow Dad Life Podcast. My name is Ryan Ank, your host, and today I'm going to tell you guys what mooning a cop in high school taught me about real estate negotiations. So here's what happened. We're, you know, it's like a Friday night, you know, I'm either junior or senior year of high school, I'm not sure, and we're out there driving on the interstate, and this truck just starts tailgating us, like coming really close to our bumper. And so my friends were like, man, this truck is really close. Somebody should moon them. And I was like, no, we shouldn't. Okay, I will. And so I moon away at this guy in this truck, whoever it is. And we, you know, I do my thing, pull my pants, sitting there, and he's still tailgating us. And we're kind of laughing about it. And then we get off the interstate. And as we get off the interstate, the guy follows us off the interstate. So we're like, oh, crap. Maybe this wasn't just a one and done thing. Maybe this guy is going to keep following us. So we got to lose him. Well, as we exit the interstate, we see 3 cop cars waiting at the exit right there. And so at this point, we're like, huh, I wonder what happened there. I wonder who died. You know, it's a small town. It was a smaller town back then than it is now. And so the cops don't have or didn't have a whole lot to do on a Friday night. So I guess they were looking for something to do. So there's 3 cop cars waiting at the edge of the interstate. And we're like, huh, I wonder what the deal is there. So we pull off the interstate and onto another road. And all the cops turn on their lights and they pull us over. So at this point, I'm like, crap. I wonder if that guy in the truck called the cops. So I tell my buddies, I'm like, look, guys, whatever this jerk in the truck says, I didn't moon him, okay? Y'all got to get my back on this one. So we get out the car. The cops, you know, of course, they're just messing with us. And so the cop gets on the loudspeaker, and he's like, get out the car. Put your hands above your head and put your hands on the hood. So he makes us get out, put our hands on the hood of the car. We put our hands on the hood of the car. And he starts, you know, patting me down. He goes, what do you think you were doing back there? And I said, back where? He goes, on the interstate? What were you doing? And I said, I wasn't doing anything. And it was weird because I said, I wasn't doing anything. And he just looked at me. And it was so awkward that I looked away and I looked back and he was still looking at me. But I was like, I'm done responding. But he just kept on looking at me. So I go, I was just changing. So that was the only thing that I could think to say. And he goes, don't even insult my intelligence like that. And I was like, I'm sorry. I mooned that guy in the truck. And he goes, yeah, well, guess what? That guy in the truck is the off-duty sheriff. And sitting next to him is his fiance. So as you can imagine, he's pretty pissed off right now. And so at this point, I'm like, oh, wow, that really went wrong really fast. So I'm like, I'm sorry, sir. I don't know what I was thinking. You know, I started apologizing. And he goes, just give me your license. So he takes my license. He goes back to his car, and I'm just sitting there. He's in his car, and him and his buddies are probably just laughing, you know, at me just sitting there crapping bricks, you know, waiting for him to come back with his verdict on me. And he comes back about 2 minutes later and he says, all right, I'm not going to arrest you, although I should. But what I am going to do is I'm going to come to your house tomorrow and tell your parents what you did. And so I'm like, oh man, this sucks. And so he goes, so if I were you, I would go home right now and tell your parents what you did. Otherwise, they're going to be pretty upset when a cop shows up at their door in the morning. So if I'm telling this story to my kids, you might think that the moral of the story is about not listening, not giving in to peer pressure, or picking better friends, or not being an idiot. However, that's not what I really learned in this situation. What I learned is what happened when I went home. So I went home, and it was about 2 a.m., and I said, hey, Mom, Dad, wake up. I mooned a cop. So you can imagine, it's 2 a.m. in the morning. My parents were ticked. And they're like, what? What are you talking about? I was like, well, you know, I was goofing around. I mooned this guy that was tailgating us. Turned out to be a cop. And so the cops are going to come tomorrow morning and tell you about it. And so my parents were just pissed. You know, I was grounded. I had all kinds of, you know, I was never going to go out again for the rest of my life. Yada, yada, yada. So next morning, 9 o'clock rolls around. No cop. 10 o'clock rolls around. Still no cop. 11, 12, 1, my dad comes to me and says, so when is this cop going to show up at my door and tell me that my son mooned him? And I was like, I don't know. I mean, he said he was coming. And around 3 o'clock, I started thinking, maybe I could tell him it was like an April Fool's joke or something. And around 4 o'clock, nothing. Guy never showed up. Never showed up. So that cop totally played me. And totally outsmarted me. And I went home and told my parents for no reason. All right, so what are the two things I learned in this situation? There's two things that I learned from that I've applied to different real estate negotiations that I've been in. The first one is called the bluff, all right? Beware of the bluff. This is what you can expect in almost every single time I put an offer in on a house. And a lot of times when someone is accepting an offer, this is what you hear. If I put an offer in on a house, a realtor or the owner might say, oh, well, it looks like we have multiple offers. So you don't know if that's a bluff or not. But what my advice is don't let that emotion force you into a different offer or a different decision, because you don't know if that's true or not. And it really wouldn't change the outcome. So if I had to go back in time, obviously, I would have never have told my parents that, to be honest. Why would I tell them that? Because they're going to be no less pissed that at 3 o'clock when he shows up to the house to tell them that I mooned him than they would if I woke him up at 2 a.m. So I'm looking at these outcomes and I'm thinking, wow, if you know, there's not going to be like a larger punishment if I tell them. You know, it's going to be a big punishment anyways. So I might as well call this guy's bluff. So it's the same thing with real estate when you're putting in offers and you hear, well, it looks like we have multiple offers on that. Don't let that deter you, or don't let that change what you're going to offer or how you're going to offer it. Because most of the time, it's a bluff, okay? And the other time is when you're selling something and the realtor says, well, it's between this one and another house. Well, that shouldn't affect your decision either, because chances are if they're putting an offer on your house, they like your house the most. So don't let that change whether or not you negotiate with them change your price or what you're going to go back on. The other thing that I learned in that situation when I got when the cop was talking to me, it's something called a pause. It's a really unique thing, and it's mostly in live negotiations. A lot of times there's more live negotiations that go on before you actually submit an offer. So there's talking to either a realtor or the owner or the seller, and a lot of times there will be a price that's thrown out. What do you think this property is worth? And they give you the number. Well, it's worth $175,000. What you do, it's a really weird trick, is you just basically pause and you don't say anything. Because just like when the cop says, what were you doing back there? And then I said nothing, and then he paused. He waited for me to continue negotiating against myself, and he literally said nothing until I gave myself up. And it's the same thing in real estate negotiations. You'd be surprised if you pause in a negotiation when somebody throws out a price or a term and you don't say anything and you just have a blank face and a blank stare, you wait for them to continue the negotiations on their own. You'd be surprised how many people negotiate themselves down or throw out additional terms that are more beneficial just by you pausing and saying nothing. You know, it's funny, even when somebody puts in an offer on a house, and if you don't say anything or acknowledge that offer, sometimes the realtor will come in and say, hey, just wanted to let you know, they are also willing to do this and blah, blah, blah. Just want to make sure you got the contract. So it is a weird trick, but it is incredibly effective. So try that in your next negotiations. Number one, beware of the bluff. That's what I learned in that transaction with the cop. And number two is utilize the pause. Once somebody throws out an offer, shut the hell up. Don't say anything and let them continue the negotiations on their own until you feel like they've completely finished. It might be awkward, but it works. All right, guys. Hope that helps. Enjoy. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you in the next one. Take care. Boom. Thanks for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. You're going to want to listen to every episode as soon as it comes out because each episode has in it an idea or a strategy that could literally change your life. And listen, don't miss out on the free investor tools that I have for you on my website, cashflowdadlife.com. So go to cashflowdadlife.com and get your free swag. And listen, hit me up if you want to talk about how we can get you out of the rat race as soon as possible. Until next time, my name is Ryan Anke, and this was Cashflow Dad Life.